Hello and welcome once again to the RPH Network for our program Optimal Life. My name is Dave Jeffrey, and in the studio with me today is Lynn Perrott. Hi, Lynn.
Oh, hello there, Dave.
How are you going?
Oh, not too bad, thank you.
Lynn, how is Newcastle these days?
Pretty good. I'll be going to a Conservatorium of Music concert in the next week or so. Been busy in Sydney.
Well, talking about concerts, I know you've been singing in the Sydney Philharmonia Choirs. So tell us a little about that. It sounds wonderful. Music from the movies.
That's right. That was last Saturday. We had our one and only performance, and there are about 17 small pieces of music from different films like The Mission, Babe, The Lion King, some fairly well known, others, you know, I hadn't heard of.
The Lion King would be fabulous.
Oh, it was something that really the audience, I think, enjoyed and would have started singing with, that part.
I'm just looking through the program here you've shown me. Clockwork Orange. Well, now, that was that guy was crazy, but he loved classical music, wasn't it?
Yes. They had the Beethoven 9, I think, in that movie being done over and over and over again. Rather torturous, I believe, but it's a beautiful piece of music.
Well, you sound good on radio, and obviously you sound good on stage too, on the microphone, singing here. So very, very well done. Nice to have a little bit of talent amongst us.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Okay, coming up in the program today, we've got balance. Lynn's got an article on balance, getting it right through our different ages. And travel, as we age, how about a sail cruise, especially for seniors? And navigating the aged healthcare system. Boy, what a maze this is. We're going to try and offer you some help. We will be touching on this in future weeks. It really is a great thing, my aged care, but I don't think too many of us understand it. Okay, Lynn, to get us going today, we're going to start and have a look at our balance.
Thank you, Dave. Getting the balance right, from the Good Health and Wellbeing magazine of February 2019. When Debbie was 53, a trip to the clothesline landed her in hospital with a broken ankle. She'd stepped on uneven ground and fallen, leading to surgery, weeks on crutches and months of rehabilitation. Like many women, Debbie thought balance problems only happened to frail seniors. However, the Australian Longitudinal Study on Women's Health has shown that between 20 and 30% of women aged 50 to 64 fall each year. Relatively little is known about falls in this group, but the good news is that plenty can be done to improve balance and reduce falls risk, and it's never too early or too late to start. In standing, the body is unstable, with a small base relative to its height, so remaining steady as we move around is challenging. We do this successfully thanks to our vision, vestibular system, the inner ear, and the somatosensory system, which was the sensation of feedback from joints and muscles, which provide information about our bodies and the environment. Our brains orchestrate these systems and prompt our muscles to respond, so we can stand on one leg to put stockings on or stay steady on a bus. As we get older, however, there is progressive loss of these sensory and motor functions, says Dr. Dana Sternix, a senior researcher and laboratory manager at the Falls Balance and Injury Research Centre. Things like vision and the ability to switch muscles on quickly, along with cognitive function, start to decline, impacting our ability to maintain balance and thereby increasing the risk of falls. Dr. Steenix explains that everyone ages at a different rate, and these changes might be faster or slower depending on whether you stay healthy and continue to challenge your balance as you get older. Keep it steady. The good news is that we can do things to reduce our risk, Dr. Steenix says. Falls don't have to be an inevitable part of ageing. Trish Wisby-Roth, a specialist sports and Olympic physiotherapist, agrees, noting that in countries where people remain active as they age, they don't experience the same problems with loss of strength, balance, and coordination. When she lived in Switzerland, for example, she saw women in their 80s cross-country skiing and hiking. Exercise is definitely the best pill for fall prevention. To be effective, exercises need to challenge your balance and be done consistently. Making exercise fun and embedding it into your daily routine can help you establish good habits. Try standing on one leg while brushing your teeth or doing 5 sit-to-stands during television ads. Trish adds that it takes 8 weeks to form a habit and 12 to build strength. If you're going to change your balance, you've got to work on this for at least a few months. Keeping an eye on things. Vision is also crucial. It helps us to navigate our environment and control our posture, with many studies showing that reduced vision is a significant risk factor for falls. A 2008 study, for example, found that severe visual impairment in one eye and mild or moderate impairment in the other doubled the risk. Having glaucoma increased the risk more than fourfold. Sophie Coe, the National Professional Services Advisor at Optometry Australia, says many vision issues, such as glaucoma, macular degeneration and cataracts, can be prevented or managed by visiting the optometrist regularly for a comprehensive eye exam. Vision is not just about sharpness, she says. It's also about how much area you can see with your side vision, how much good central vision you have, and the quality of vision in low light conditions versus bright sunlight. Glasses may also pose a problem, with some studies showing that bifocal and multifocal lenses may lead to a higher incidence of falls, Sophie says. I would often switch a patient who has impaired balance or is experiencing falls into a single vision lens instead. Another important consideration with falls risk is medications, because some, including antipsychotics and sleeping pills, interfere with balance and increase the risk of falls, Dr. Steenick says. She advises having them reviewed by your doctor at least annually. Reviewing your home for hazards is another effective strategy. Several government departments offer downloadable home safety checklists, such as Western Australia's Stay On Your Feet program, stayonyourfeet.com.au. If you have balance problems and foot pain, visiting a podiatrist is recommended. They can provide exercises and advice about the best footwear. Looking after your bone health is also important, and Dr. Steenick recommends making sure you get enough vitamin D. Your doctor can help with bone density and vitamin D testing. Most importantly, don't wait until you've had a fall or broken a bone to do something, Trish says. When you find you have to sit down to put your stockings on, when you have to use your arms to get in and out of a chair, that's the time to ring a physio or talk to your GP and say, I would like someone to help me with my balance and my strength. Dr. Steenick agrees, if you can get on to maintaining good balance, good strength and good physical function in middle age, then you're going to do a whole lot better as you start to get into the old age group, she says. It's never too early to start. And also another small piece of information which may be useful, called the fallout from a fall. A fall can have devastating consequences. Hip fractures are the leading cause of injury to older people and they have a high mortality rate. While many falls aren't this bad, an injury can prevent you from doing your usual activities. If someone's isolating themselves from their physical and social activities, then their quality of life is not so good. The lack of stimulation and involvement in life will basically speed up that aging process, which has a spiraling effect. Compounding the problem, at around the same time, women might learn that they have osteopenia, which is early osteoporosis, explains Trish. This can lead to fear of having a fracture. Once you get that cycle of lack of confidence, you start adjusting your lifestyle so you're not put at risk. Women might drive places rather than walk. Use the lift instead of using the stairs, Trish says. At a time when they should be using those muscles, they're actually decreasing the challenges that they expose themselves to. And that was an article from Good Health and Wellbeing magazine of February 2019 and concerned how to maintain good balance through life.
Lynn, thanks very much for that. What an important subject. I can always remember going to a conference once or a presentation, and the lovely lady who used to be the state premier, Dr. Mari Bashir, was there, doctor of medicine, and she said, yes, if you want to have a good old age or later years, just do not fall. It's the biggest problem we face in a lot of ways, she said. So thanks for that. Some great advice. Okay, we're going to have a look now at trying to get this aged care system. It says here, older Australians can get free navigating help with the complex aged care system. This is thanks to the rollout of a $7.4 million national trial. Now, this was taken from the Senior newspaper, Monday the 28th of April. The Aged Care System Navigator Initiative. I'll say that again. That's what it's called. The Aged Care Navigator Initiative. It offers face-to-face phone and online assistance to seniors and their families in every state and territory. It also includes selected rural and remote areas. The scheme includes three trial programs which aim to help older people trying to learn more about government-supported aged care. Also, the big thing, how to access this. These could be people accessing aged care for the first time, or they might be transitioning between Commonwealth home support programs, home care packages, and/or residential aged care. The three programs include 32 aged care information hubs, 21 community hubs, 9 specialist support workers. They'll offer one-on-one support either in person or over the phone, and they'll help vulnerable people as well. Now, the trial, funded by the government, will be delivered by a consortium of 30 consumer-focused organisations. These will be led by COTA, Council of the Ageing Australia. Minister for Senior Australians and Aged Care, Ken Wyatt, said the navigators will target seniors in need, especially those facing language or other difficulties. He said the navigator system is critical to ensuring senior Australians have more choices for longer and better lives. Council of the Ageing Chief Executive Ian Yates said there was an urgent need for this. He said we must invest in navigators and a system that helps the aged care. The great thing about these trials is they steer away from the cookie-cutter approach. They'll go to accessing aged care and recognise the importance of tailoring support. It's got to be able to access aged care services to different situations and contexts. He gave an example. He said a 90-year-old in the top end of Australia is going to have very different access supports to a 70-year-old in Sydney or Melbourne. The Older Persons Advocacy Network has also been involved with the trial. It said it was important for people entering aged care. Now, the network chief, Craig Gear, here said, my aged care is full of answers, but we are told it is difficult to find them. And I might add here, how true is that? Now, I'm going to come back and tell you how to access this. It's called the Aged Care System Navigator Initiative. Hasn't got a phone number, but I looked it up and I think we've got the right one. 1300 144 438. And I can assure you, we'll be looking at this over the coming weeks. It's a big, well, I don't say problem, but it's such a big field, it's difficult to access. Stay tuned. But that number again, 1300 144 438. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Well, next up, Lynn, you've got a great way to sail the seas.
That's right, Dave. And it's sailing the Mediterranean in a big way. That's the title of the article from the Senior Traveller newspaper of April 2019. It's a warm and shimmering late September afternoon at Cannes in France, and as I walk towards the harbour, I get my first sighting of the Royal Clipper, the largest full-rigged sailing ship in the world. It's simply magnificent. Due to its size, with its five masts and distinct blue and white painted hull, it majestically stands out among all the glamorous yachts moored nearby. This tall ship will be our home for the next 7 nights as we cruise to some of the Mediterranean's most romantic and historic ports in France and Corsica and Italy, disembarking back at Cannes. At each stop, there is an option for passengers to either sign up for a guided tour at extra cost or do a self-discovery tour. Of course, you can choose to stay on board and take advantage of the day beds on deck to relax with a favourite book or just soak up the sunshine. But most passengers, depending on their level of fitness, take advantage at each port of call to walk, cycle, swim, shop, or visit cafes, restaurants and bars. Portofino in Italy is our first stop, and after an Italian-themed lunch on board, a tender takes us to one of the world's most charming and picturesque towns, where there's a diverse mix of luxurious boutiques and jewellery stores. Another port visited is Ajaccio, where Napoleon Bonaparte was born, and it seems that every town we stop at in Corsica has statues and monuments of the little corporal. We swim in the town's main beach, where the water is exceptionally clean and clear, and also end up doing an interesting $16 road train tour of the town, which gives us a quick insight into the lives of the locals. Our next port of call is the tiny French island of Porquerolles, where we hire bicycles and ride to Notre Dame Beach and swim in its refreshing turquoise water. Saint-Nery-sur-Mer, our next destination on France's Côte d'Azur, has a port full of colourful small fishing vessels and pleasure craft. On the town foreshore, we enjoy cocktails and watch the traditional game of bocce passionately played by locals. The following day, we visit Saint-Tropez Beach. Later, we visit the port, where we walk around and observe the rich and beautiful, enjoying the Riviera's superb weather and uber-cool vibe. Back on board, it's five-star cruising all the way, from the fine dining to the well-appointed, comfortable ensuite cabins to the excellent crew. A clipper cruise is not like your mega cruise liners, and this is what sets it apart. It's a more personal experience, with a maximum of 227 passengers, many of them repeat guests. With its fashion shows, trivia quizzes, and of course, the piste de resistance, a talent quest for guests and crew, it's a fun and unforgettable cruise. Whether you're the sort who likes to get involved in all the activities on offer, such as a mast climb, daily fitness classes, water activities, or someone who prefers to kick back and enjoy a cocktail by the piano bar, there is something on this cruise for everyone. There is an eclectic mix of nationalities, and the age of passengers ranges from 50 to 75. On this particular trip, the eldest was 86. On our last evening, our dinner table resembles the United Nations, with British, Swiss, Dutch, Russians, Americans and Australians all sharing in Royal Clipper's hospitality and warmth. The Royal Clipper offers the ultimate seagoing experience, balancing the grandeur, adventure and tradition of sailing with the superb service and amenities of the finest modern yacht. Together with its sister tour ships, it sails in the Mediterranean, the Caribbean, and through the Panama Canal. Check out the website at www.starclippers.com/au. And that was an article about sailing the Mediterranean a different way from April 2019 Senior Traveller newspaper by Daniel Resnick.
Thank you, Lynn. That sounds like a great way to travel. We'd like to tell you about a wonderful sponsor we have for our program, Optimal Life. Our wonderful sponsor is called Seniors Rights Service. It's an absolutely free service, and you can call them on 1-800-424-079. Let's just tell you a little bit about them. They offer legal advice, advocacy, and education. They look at consumers' rights, human rights, elder abuse, financial exploitation, planning for later in life, and Seniors Rights Service is fully accredited community by the Legal Centre. Now, they'll also help you with disputes with nursing homes and aged care. They provide information about rights, responsibility. They will listen to your concerns. Now, there's two ways you can contact them. Their phone number, 1-800-424-079, or you can get them on seniorsrightsservice.org.au. Just saying those numbers again for the Seniors Rights Service, 1-800-424-079 or seniorsrightsservice.org.au. Well, Lynn, we're going to have a look at the subject of pets now, our best friends, but maybe beware.
Can my pet make me sick? Hard to believe your adorable furry friend would do anything to make you unhappy, but some germs may be lurking on their fur. Many of the diseases are rare and carried by wildlife, but pets can spread skin infections and even salmonella. Here's how to reduce the risk and stay well. An article by Liz Schumer. And this is from the Prevention magazine, April-May of 2019. Although furry family members can do no wrong, except the occasional munch shoe or scratch furniture leg, it's worth being aware of zoonotic diseases, ZOONOTIC, zoonotic, which can be transmitted by animals to people. They are especially dangerous for certain groups, people under 5 or over 65, pregnant women, and those with compromised immune systems. But you can reduce everyone's risk, including your pets. 1. Use pest treatment. Fleas and ticks carrying infections such as Lyme disease can jump from pets to people. Ask your vet for regular flea and tick treatments. 2. Practice good hygiene. Always wash your hands well after playtime, feeding or cleaning up after your pet, says veterinarian Casey Bavravish. And don't get lax, because germs can be transferred via bodily fluids and simple contact. Even petting can lead to infection or transfer of ringworm or other types of parasites if your pet isn't up to date on worming treatment. Keeping your cat or dog well-groomed is also a must. 3. Stick to air kisses. The common cold can't spread through animals and humans because the viruses that cause it infect only humans. However, some strains of influenza can spread between pets and people via coughing and sneezing, saliva and bodily fluids. At-risk people shouldn't kiss or get kisses from pets, as animals' mouths contain lots of bacteria, especially if they lick their hindquarters before licking you. Focus on playing and petting. Those things will keep you both happy and healthy. And that was a short article from the Prevention magazine of April-May 2019, information about pets possibly making you sick.
Lynn Perrott and Dave Jeffrey taking you through Optimal Life. And Lynn, we've had a lot to do or talk about the My Aged Care package now, and you're going to try and unsolve the mystery for us. There's a lot out there, but I just don't think that any of us really understand it too well, how to access it. So this might help.
Thank you, David. Yes, I hope this article does help listeners. It's entitled, Taking Control of Your Own Home Care Package Can Pay Off. Aged care guru Rachel Lane. Anyone who has tried to navigate home care for themselves or a loved one will tell you that it is a test of patience, resourcefulness, and forensic accounting. You need patience during the long waits for assessment and then for care to start. Resourcefulness in finding services, volunteers and family members to fill in the gaps, and forensic accounting to determine whether or not you are getting bang for your buck. The waiting time for all package levels, except the lowest, now exceeds 12 months. And don't think that once you receive your package that all the hard work is done. Now you need to nominate a home care provider. Choosing the wrong one could mean losing half of your package in administration fees, case management fees, and inflated service charges. Administration and case management are services that providers must deliver. Without them, the package doesn't operate. However, they are tasks that are largely invisible, making it difficult to know what is really involved and easy for unscrupulous operators to gouge their customers. I have seen a Level 4 home package with administration fee of 52%. That's more than $28,000 a year to coordinate $26,000 worth of care. Only $26,000 worth. If you can't or don't want to be involved in managing your package, someone would need to do it for you. If that is the home care provider, naturally there will be a fee. However, there are services out there that enable you to self-manage your package. MABLE, Mabel, for example, is an online platform that connects individual care workers with people needing care in their local area. They charge up to 15% for their service, which includes ensuring that workers have a police check, qualification checks, and insurances. Save money. They are not a home care provider, so if you have a package, you will still need to find a compatible provider. Some providers, such as Let's Get Care, offer a self-managed package with fees as low as 13%. This covers basic services such as government compliance, paying your service providers, and keeping track of your package funds. Let's be clear, I'm not saying everyone should self-manage their package. However, you may be able to save some money and have more say over who provides your care and when. And that was from The Telegraph of Wednesday, March 27th, 2019.
Lynn, thank you very, very much for that. The most important subject of my aged care and accessing what is out there for us older ones.
We had some interesting articles there, didn't we, Dave?
We certainly did, Lynn, and that's a most important one with the aged care thing. We're going to do more on that, as we said, in coming weeks. Lynn, that's about all we've got time for in our program today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And I look forward to working with you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Myself too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now.
And that was from The Telegraph of Wednesday, March 27th, 2019.
Lynn, thank you very, very much for that. The most important subject of my aged care and accessing what is out there for us older ones.